white Australia has a bad habit of forgetting or dismissing black history, whether that's pre or post-colonisation. Just briefly, can you give us an idea of how the fight for workers' rights and Indigenous rights has crossed over in this country?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, like, it's a, you know, when I talk to our elders up in Borroloola and in the Gulf Country, they often talk with pride about how they've worked the land a lot. So, you know, colonisation came in, you know, really, really smashed and dispossessed all, you know, all of us. And, but especially in the Gulf Country and, you know, where I'm, you know, where my tribe's from up in the Northern Territory, there's a real pride in sort of getting back on country and working the land and being part of that. And I think that's where the crossover comes in, and, you know, with climate justice, with land rights, with, you know, Indigenous rights and liberation movements around the world, it really does come down to, you know, the ability to look after your families and to look after the land in which you live.
Mm.
And working on the land has been a part of that understanding since pre-colonisation, in terms of, you know, understanding that we have responsibilities to the land, and that takes work. And now, today, you know, we're seeing, and I was just, you know, chatting to Dad Stuart Houston, one of our really fierce kind of elders, and he was really saddened by things like the basics card, which came in with the Northern Territory intervention. And he was saying he felt like it was the same as when he was working in the 50s and 60s for rations, you know, with ration cards and things like that. And today we're seeing, you know, and today is such a great day of celebration. And the family was meant to come down from Borroloola and show solidarity for the May 1 and with other mob down here, and with the unions in particular. You know, I'm part of the NTU. Education and the side of education is a real place of empowerment and liberation for us. So, unfortunately, you know, with COVID, they couldn't come down. But it's awesome to see people. I don't have a car that I can drive at the moment, so I'm not on the convoy. But yeah, it's a great day, I think, for uniting for workers, you know, that are really suffering around the world.
Well, rather famously, May 1st here in Australia marks the start of the Pilbara walk-off, when at least 800 Indigenous workers walked off stations in the Pilbara and from jobs in the two major towns of Port Hedland and Marble Bar. That was a strike that lasted 3 years over in Western Australia, obviously. That was back in 1946. Have we really failed, do you think, in the past, well, it's well over 50 years now, to take stock of those same issues that kind of inspired that original strike?
Yeah, and I think you know, I think we have failed in a number of different areas, and, you know, the history of labour in particular, the systems that we're operating in, have really exposed themselves. You know, they really exploit resources and extract resources, and they exploit labour. And I think the same things are happening today. And you can just see, you know, the university sector, where, you know, 21,000 jobs are at risk right now in the higher education sector. And, you know, just in that context alone, I think it's the casual staff, and part of that casual staffing is Indigenous people, and filling up all of those kind of lower runs and economic systems. So I think, the ties of land rights, you know, and for us in particular, we had some big wins in the land rights movement, and we have to, you know, some of our land back. But actually, the operational today, you know, in terms of the scope of self-determination and the right to live your life according to how you want to live on your own land, is really undermined through the economic systems that are at play today. And I think today, in particular, is the moment to sort of try to reveal and show those crossovers between climate justice, you know, the idea that if we're all committed now, even more so now, with a just transition, you know, a real move away from fossil fuels and extractive systems into a more just and sustainable way of operating and living in the world, then that just transition has to prioritise Indigenous peoples and other peoples at the front line of those, you know, the impacts of, you know, like fossil fuels and stuff. And that's one of the things, I think, for at least our tribe and some of the work that we've been doing with others, you know, like Seed Mob, and which is a, you know, really great Indigenous climate justice collective, and Protect Country Alliance, which is an alliance up in the NT, which has been fighting fracking and things. It's really important to sort of, you know, like look at these kind of models of new young leadership coming up, and it's really, a lot of it is about leadership on country. So it's sort of saying local communities have local solutions. Let's really empower those communities and those local economies to live in a sustainable way moving forward.
And are there any other sort of key aims, key concerns, I guess, you're hoping to come out of today's action?
I mean, one of the things that we really, you know, I'm proud of in particular is, you know, the NTEU. I'm a proud member of the NTEU, and we've got a National Day of Action coming up on May 21. We're really hoping to have more of our own more involved in that. You know, I'm a biker, so like I think, you know, I bike around, and I'm really into changing my lifestyle. So I think the idea of, you know, shifting the way that we live as a community and supporting some of those changes and uptake of new technologies and new ways of doing work in itself is really important. And in particular, we'd really like to, you know, like see unions and other institutions and the Australian government in particular supporting the move, the push for jobs on country, which is really just saying, you know, Indigenous peoples in Australia and around the world are working on country to keep it sustainable, and we should be supporting communities by making those wages available. And that's something that a just transition, in my opinion, needs to be really absolutely funded by the government. It shouldn't be led by a private sector. And, you know, just in the creation of a new neoliberal economic system.
Well, Jason, greatly appreciate you joining us on this one. Best of luck with all of that going forward. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.